Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. It is June, it is the summer, it is between seasons, but we are here on fixture release day to give you all the latest Norwich City news, effectively revolving around 46 games in a particular order. We are numbering these podcasts now as well, so this is number 322. That's a lot of podcasts we've done, and this is officially number 322, give or take, but that's what we're starting from anyway. My name is Michael Bailey. I'll take you through the next 20 minutes or so. I am with our chief Norwich City correspondent, Paddy Davitt. Good afternoon, Pad.
Good afternoon, Michael.
And our Norwich City covering colleague, David Freezer. Hello, Dave.
Howdy.
Everyone all right? Well, we're going to keep this light and airy now, frothy. I want to know how you've been.
Does that mean lacking in substance, perhaps?
Well, we'll let the listeners decide. Yeah,
I think people like Pad. How he always has been on the pod.
Miserable. Yeah. Glass half empty. Why not? I'm not going to live up to any other stereotypes.
The thing is,
you two can bring the hilarity and frivolity to the proceedings, and I'll retain a degree of moroseness.
Which may well be how it pans out anyway. Since we've last done a pod, Pad, you've been down south of the border in that blue territory recording a Kings of Anglia pod. I mean, yeah. That's apparently what they call themselves. I don't know where that's come from. How was it?
It was good. Yeah. I've got to be honest, Michael. It's not going to work very visually, this, for the listeners, but his microphone over there is substantially better than your microphone.
Jesus Christ.
It's some sort of orb type affair. I'm no technical bod, so I can't really describe it, but it was like something off NASA spaceship. So I think we need to look at the budget over here. Clearly haven't got the bells and whistles they've got over there.
And obviously they sit on thrones and wear crowns as well. And did they have stars on their shirts?
Not on that day. They might have been in the wash. So, yeah.
Cross-border banter.
No, it was all good. Yeah, they just asked for my opinion on the Messiah, who is Paul Hurst, who they're pinning a lot of hopes on. You probably know him better than I can to a point, Michael, having seen him up close for Shrewsbury in the playoff final at Wembley, but yeah, there was definitely a mood of optimism there. Very difficult not to escape the feeling it was a bit Alec Neil type parallel, you know, not as unheralded as Alec Neil, to be fair, but just that freshness after the McCarthy staleness, and they're really bang up for it, which is pertinent to go segging into the fixtures, given I think Portman Road comes around fairly swiftly, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Let's get stuck into it. Although I will just say on the microphone point, it's not what you got. It's how that you use it, obviously. Let's get straight into the fixture, shall we? We've got them all here, lovingly prepared by our good selves. It's been quite the day, hasn't it, Dave? We were in at the crack of dawn-ish. Well, we weren't. We were in just after 8, but that was early enough.
Yeah, not too bad. I don't think we'll get too much sympathy for an 8 a.m. start, to be honest. But we've survived, haven't we?
My wife's been up earlier for the last sort of 3 months with a baby, so no, I won't even get any sympathy at home for that one. So they're all there. As Pad mentioned, the first derby comes along quite quickly. I would guess looking at the start of the fixtures is a fair point, a fair place to start. So do you want to rattle through a couple of them?
Birmingham away, that's where we head. St Andrews, Saturday August 4th, Boxing Day it was last year, of course, 2-0 win. A team that they did the double over, but as Daniel Farke has said in his quotes since the fixtures have been released, they're probably going to be a different team. Gary Monk did manage to pick them up enough to avoid relegation by, I think it was 4 or 5 points in the end last year. So I think they're looking to spend a bit of money. They do have foreign ownership, don't they? And it's just they've spent it badly and made bad decisions along the way. Harry Redknapp and Steve Cotterill to name two, and their transfer business has been a bit of a mess. So if Monk can get a hold of that, then that's going to be a potentially difficult proposition. And then West Brom is the first home game the following Saturday.
What I found interesting, we did a Q&A, didn't we, at 1 o'clock, padpinken.com. Make sure you join us for those in future. You're going through what the championship would be like, who'd be strong, who'd be this, that and the other. There's some great stories in the championship next year. You can see Forest are spending a bit of money. The three big, well, certainly two big clubs, a club that's already been in the championship, have come up. Three established Premier League clubs have come down. Ipswich have got a completely new era ahead of them. Aston Villa, Leeds, Marcelo Bielsa. I mean, it's littered with brilliant stories across the division.
Yeah, no two ways about it. I mean, not that we want to be PR for the EFL as they're branded nowadays, but far more, maybe because we're in the midst of it. But I look at that and then you compare it with the Premier League, which is very formulaic now, isn't it? To an even more marked degree than I think Norwich when they were in there. So, yeah, in terms of if you're a neutral and you just want to fix the football, you won't go too far wrong in the Championship this season, I don't think.
One of the tweets that popped up, we were also discussing about how strong or not the division was, how even it was. We did that on the Facebook Live, didn't we, when the fixtures came out, Dave? And the tweet I got was from Graham Leader. He tweeted, as somebody once said, if a league looks strong and you can't see any weak teams in it, then you're probably one of them.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting point of view. Yeah, there's loads of stories everywhere. You know, Frank Lampard at Derby being another one. You can almost look at the Championship as a Premier League 2 now. I know that's what they call the under-23s league nowadays. But if you think in terms of Bundesliga and La Liga, that's how they dress them up, isn't it? Rather than it being a Championship, you've now got two-thirds of the teams in the division who have been in the Premier League. And it's so much closer to the Premier League than it is League One. You look at some of the clubs that are in League One and they're significantly smaller than the majority of the teams in the Championship. And I think you could almost bill it as a Premier League too, because certainly the bottom half of the Premier League isn't vastly different, and the money that has dripped down over the years and the attendances that are in the Championship as well, that means that the strength is not that far off. And you see that in cup games as well, when you get round to the FA Cup third round or in the League Cup, that a Championship team beating a lower Premier League team now is no surprise at all, really, is it? So, you know, when Norwich went and won at Everton a couple of years ago, no one was particularly shocked at all, were they? So, yeah, there's a great deal of strength there, and I think it's going to be quite a tight division. I think there's going to be pretty much everyone beating everyone. I can't unless one of the relegated teams manages to find their feet quickly and stabilise and get over the relegation hangover quickly, I really can't see anyone running away with it.
Pad, are Norwich going to be one of the weak teams next year?
Can't really say, can we? Because they've brought one new player in. All the focus has been on the exit, so, you know, I think you'd be very foolish to sort of pin your colours to where Norwich could be categorised at this stage. I mean, you know, they're not even back for pre-season training yet. So let's see a lot nearer to that first game at Birmingham. But the reality is, 14th last season, I think if they crack the top 10, that's progress, because that's unfortunately the stratosphere they're inhabiting now at the minute. And that's, you know, I think that realism is now set in with the majority of Norwich fans. I've still seen one or two who think they're going to get 15 million and demand some money to go and buy Daniel Sturridge or whatever. So
Daniel Sturridge?
Yeah, that was that was what I did see, yeah, apparently so.
He wouldn't come here.
On no measure is there any sort of authenticity to that option likely, unless it's somebody called Daniel Sturridge, rather than the actual former of Liverpool. Well, I think he's still Liverpool, is he? Is he still Liverpool player?
He was on loan at West Brom and doing nothing, wasn't he? He's the new Darren Bent, pretty much, isn't he?
Wow.
How many games did you get out of him, even if for however much money you spent on him? There was another tweet I wanted to bring up just from 9:38 this morning from Adam Farrell. He said, bloody hell, the fixture process must have been a long-winded exercise before computers. I mean, it must have. I can't even imagine what it would have been like trying to figure out all of the league's fixtures without...
I bet there was someone that loved it. You know, you get your sort of cricket statos and football statos as well. I bet there was someone who loved doing that and he had a folder full of the various options.
Oh, you're just making me think of Mrs. Doyle on Father Ted when he bought the coffee machine, the tea maker, the tea's made, and she was basically made redundant from making the tea. And this poor guy who probably spent 50 years putting all the fixtures together, look, we've got a massive computer. Yeah. Oh dear. Right, well, to make this a bit more light-hearted in terms of the fixtures, rather than going through what Norwich have got, you can see them all, pinken.com, take your time, they're all there. I thought we'd get your boys' take on the fixture highlights and fixture lowlights in your mind, the things that you're looking at and going, oof, or the things that you're looking at and going, that's not very kind. Now, Paddy, I know you've got a lowlight, but we'll get to that in a bit. What are you looking forward to out of that lot?
Well, probably an early trip to Portman Road, because that's going to be very tasty. Little bit of trepidation, I would think, if you're a Norwich fan, because for reasons already stated, they feel like they've turned the page. Unless we forget, they did finish above Norwich in the table, albeit just, was it goal difference in the end or the odd point? So... Yeah, I mean, if Norwich, I'm just thinking in terms of the overall momentum, feel, optimism around the place, if Norwich could go there and do a number on them, then that could really trigger a little bit more of a positive season than many might think Norwich are in for. You know, it struck me the other day, I think it might have been around the doing something to do with the Arsenal Emirates League Cup tie, and just tell you what, yeah, it was, because it was the Carabao Cup draw, wasn't it? That was it, and it was obviously cross-checking to see how Norwich got on in the competition, as we all know, went so close to knocking out Arsenal, and just that game there, that could have completely changed the complexity of Norwich's season, because they were on such a good run at that point, and the confidence would have flown through them if they managed to see off Arsenal, and to be fair, they played well enough on the night to have done that. And yet, of course, what happened then, two or three days later, tired, got done over by Derby, and that was the beginning of a decline, really, and only brief pockets of positivity thereafter. So the season dramatically tailed away from that moment for me. So conversely, you go to Ipswich there, start of September, do a number on them, you've already banked a good few points up to that point. Who knows, platforms, it's stranger things have happened. You know, there's seasons when Norwich have got promoted that they've not always started in the best circumstances, and certainly under Lambert, that there was nobody tipping them to go through the division again after they came up from League One. So I'm not saying I'm not talking up a promotion push here, but in terms of a little bit more to look forward to than looking over your shoulder at the bottom three, I think.
That would be brilliant. Of course, the one thing Norwich will have the benefit of this coming season is no extra time in the Carabao Cup. It's a shame maybe that wasn't the case last season, because that half an hour effort might have saved them. Anyway, ifs and buts. How about Dave? Highlight?
Well, noticing the one that Paddy's pointed out, sorry, the Ipswich, it's not the one to lose, because you've got an international break straight after it as well. So let's hope that that is not what we're having to endure for a couple of weeks. My highlight would be the festive period. Home game on Boxing Day against Nottingham Forest. Last couple of years, it's been away. Lost at Reading, didn't they? 3-1. And then, as I already mentioned, winning 2-0 at Birmingham last year, which is a really good game. It's Jamal Lewis's full debut. Alex Tetti came back, and all of a sudden they looked a different team. And it's started a decent run, really, didn't it? Apart from the awful 0-0 at Burton, which followed it. After the Forest game on Boxing Day is Derby at home as well. So with Blackburn away before and Brentford away on New Year's Day, I'd say there's the potential for a decent festive period there. But just on a social level, as I'm sure a lot of fans are, just nice to be at home on Boxing Day, really.
Yes, indeed. I'm just looking forward to the first home game, personally. I think West Brom would be a really interesting challenge. You quite like how they've gone about it so far this summer, don't you, Pad? And it'll be interesting how much they've adjusted to life, whether they're going to need some time to, whether they'll be one of those sides who come down and just look a cut above from the start. Obviously, Darren Moore in charge, isn't he, next season as well? So it's going to be interesting how he adjusts to having the job permanently rather than being the sort of shoo-in. Low lights. Go on, Pad.
I'll try and muster up some more anger. I've already expended a lot on this. End of November, Swansea away Saturday, Hull away Tuesday. I mean, what is that all about? Setting aside our selfish, what it means for us. But if you're a punter, you know, the hours you'd have to expend sitting in various vehicles to go and cover those two games, not to mention the cost, just ridiculous. And Preston, I'll also add as a caveat, Preston midweek as well.
Well, Preston midweek with Bolton afterwards. I mean, literally, you might as well stay up in there. In fact, I'm almost wondering whether Norwich will look at staying up there.
Because it's got past November, to be fair.
I don't blame you.
That's really improved my mood.
And that is literally, let's just stay over in the northwest. But there we go.
With that week as well, the Ipswich game at Carrow Road will presumably be moved to the Sunday. So you'll have Ipswich at home on Sunday. Preston then will probably be moved to the Wednesday away, and so that's even closer to the Bolton game then,
if,
as well.
If Preston allow them to, I guess it'll be there. They'll have to agree to it, won't
potentially,
they?
So. Potentially, that they may well move Preston to the Sunday as well to make it fairer.
Have you got any other low lights?
Well, there's a couple of other double headers away from home. September, you got Reading on the Wednesday night, and then QPR on the Saturday. Pat's already flagged up the Swansea Hull one. Just hopefully the Humber Bridge won't be closed this time as well, so that A, Chris Scorham doesn't have to run across the Humber Bridge to get to the other side, and B, we don't have to drive around the can't remember the roads now. I used to live in Scunney as well, and I can't remember.
Humberside.
Yeah, quite. M18, I think it is. We throttled our way around there rather quickly, didn't we, to make sure that we actually got to the game before kickoff, and just about made it. So yeah, let's hope the Humber Bridge is open.
Probably the worst place to get to from Norwich, Hull. That's my take on it. I think that covers the fixtures. If there's anything you're sitting there thinking, oh, I wish I knew that, or wish we were discussing that, pinkin.com, it'll all be there, including our analysis and everything you need to know in between. And as we said, it all kicks off on Saturday, August the 4th, but of course we've got pre-season and all the friendlies to come before that. So this section is going to be slightly separate from the fixture list. It's going to be called On the Sidelines. No points for any originality here. We're going to talk about other stuff away from the football. Basically, at this point in time, it means we're going to talk about the transfer window very briefly, because Norwich have done business. It's been big business. It's been pretty much selling business. As you all know, I'm sure Josh Murphy sold for 10 million plus. James Maddison, of course, this week sold for 20 million plus. It's a lot of money. Norwich's future for the time being is secured. Parachute payments dealt with pretty much for that. All they need to do now is somehow plug the gap that there's been left in terms of all those goals and assists, Pad. That's obviously the easy bit.
It's Harry Houdini on the market. Don't see how you... Well, you know, ultimately, again, to repeat myself, let's give them a bit of a chance. They will have done all their homework. You get the sense from the quotes from Stuart Webber after Madison's move was confirmed, and even Daniel Farker has done a little bit of media on the back of the fixtures, both talking about incomings and hopefully not too far away. So it sounds like, you know, we're into phase two now. You know, they've shifted the lads they needed to in terms of the financial implications post-parachutes. And if that homework is done, then you would think they would now have a bit of wriggle room to actually activate a few deals, get them over the line. But, you know, in a team that didn't score a lot of goals or create many assists, you've taken out basically the rump in Murphy and Maddison. So let's hope the scouting is up to scratch and we've got a few tribals and Zimmermans maybe, rather than... Who am I going to pick out? No, I won't pick anybody
else.
MW.
Good shout.
Marley's gone. I think someone was asking for a minute's silence, weren't they, on the Q&A today? He's gone. They got over £1 million for him, a player who joined for free and Ipswich wanted last summer. It was going to be very interesting to see how he gets on at Bristol City, of course, Marley.
Who could have thought Brighton pre-season last year spanks that goal in the top corner and you thought... player on here, because when he signed on paper it looked a good signing, didn't it? But we really never saw that player. The only positive I can remember is him teeing up James Maddison for his goal of the month at Borough. But
I don't think he controlled a ball without his shin for the rest of the season. It was just remarkable drop in performance.
Some moves just don't work out, did they? And it was similarly to James Maddison. We all knew before Christmas that he was going to the Premier League. We just could tell that Marley wasn't working out, couldn't we?
Yeah, spot on. So we do know that Kenny McLean is obviously on his way. He has hopefully, I think he's got engaged, looking at Instagram, I noticed. Not that I'm spying.
Very up to date on this Instagram. You were telling me about Johnny Lally, formerly of the Parish, who's now part of Leicester's comms team. Yeah. You unveiled us that he wasn't about, so... You do spend a lot of time on there, Michael, as to be said.
It's a good spying tool. Emi Buendia, I think he's about to become a dad. I've judged that from Instagram as well.
Yeah, either that or his girlfriend's been enjoying the holiday a bit too much.
There
we
go, Dave. Yeah.
He's the one I'm looking forward to seeing play. I know you're looking forward to Kenny.
McLean, as Stuart Hodge, formerly of the Parish again, informs us. So... yeah, I mean, he looks like he could offer a bit in the goals and assists column. It's just that we won't know until he gets here whether he can step up from top end of Scottish football to the Championship. But you have to think that's a lad who's coming into his prime now. He's 26, I think. And he was clearly one of the better players in Scotland. You know, there's one or two, they're producing one or two very good players now. That boy Turney at Celtic, he looks an excellent player. And there's one or two others as well. So... that could prove to be very... We're talking about astute business. You know, I think the figures I saw bandied about were about 200,000 because he was obviously out of contract this summer. So to jump in there in January, put a few quid down for Aberdeen and get a player who if he really hits his straps, by this time next summer, he could be worth a lot of money. So yeah, that could be a very good bit of business.
Yeah, Graham Shinney, I think, has got to move to England somewhere as well. Can't remember where off the top of my head. It might be Championship. Dave, you were looking through the squad and you were sort of having a little look at the holes you think that Norwich need to fill. I mean, there's a lot of people going, oh my God, we need people in. But actually, there's only a few areas where they really need to do that business.
Yeah, right back is the one gap that I potentially see, although Max Aarons has signed a new contract, doesn't he? And I think is one that they're going to maybe have a look at properly in pre-season, see whether he's ready to step up. But I find it a little bit difficult to imagine he's going to play too much of a part if Todd Cantwell, Ben Godfrey are going to be involved regularly. Remy Matthews in goal, though I suppose Remy's 24 now, isn't he? But he's untested as a Norwich City player. Mentioned Instagram as well. Mo Leitner, everyone's keeping an eye on what he's doing, wearing his Norwich shirt.
What's he done with all his other clothes? I don't know where they all are. He seems to own a Norwich shirt.
There was a winky smiley face one day, wasn't there, as well, when he said this is like English weather. So there's been a few little hints, or not hints. He might just be playing along, bored, maybe. Yeah.
It's amazing how many of them, after a couple of weeks going on holiday, go, right, go and play football now. Yeah. You'd have thought they'd want a break.
I'd be interested to know whether the guys who put so much fitness on there, whether it's because the club have wanted them to, or whether they just want the club to know. I mean, Jacob and Josh, I've seen Murphy, of course, have both been doing that throughout the summer. So whether that is just good PR, or whether their respective physios at Cardiff and Newcastle want to see them doing stuff, I don't know.
Well, I think they sort of get 2 weeks off, and then their programmes are basically like doing one or two sessions a day anyway. It's just nuts how much they have to. I mean, clearly it's 1 or 2 hours in a day when you could probably do that when you're in Dubai, so I mean, you don't feel too sorry for them, but you know, fair play for them keeping themselves fit.
Well, when you get paid five figures a week, I think you can manage to go for a run or get on an exercise bike once a day or five times a week or whatever they have to do just to keep on. Oh, I mean, I'd take that.
we're all on about five fish fingers a week, aren't we? I think pretty much. So there we go.
If you're lucky.
And of course, strikers. We know Norwich City needs strikers. I imagine that Nelson Oliveira will be the one remaining big departure they'll look to do, and we will see.
That's the one area that we're all looking to see refreshed, isn't it? I mean, Dennis Shrabeni didn't do enough for us to be going into this season thinking he is going to be leading the line, and Carlton Morris, of course, has got injured. So Nelson, if they can find him a new home, then maybe get in, you know, sign somebody. I wouldn't mind seeing somebody with experience of the Championship or League One, if possible, but finances may make that difficult, and probably a Premier League loanee, who, I don't know, but there's plenty of options available.
Yeah, I think there'll be a couple of English loanees from somewhere over.
Talking about strikers, I'm just watching through the glass here at Arch and Towers. Mbappe, he's just scored for France against Peru. Is he available? Could they afford him?
Well, I think PSG have had to roll back on the 100 million they were paying, weren't they, right? Because of financial fair play. Quite so right. He might be, if Norwich dip into...
They like a continental signing, so he'd certainly offer them something a little bit different, although that goal he scored there looks to have been for about 2 yards, so even Nelson would have slotted that.
My only issue is he's a bit untested in the Championship, so you'd have to see how he'd get on.
Is it called Le Champion or something like that? Have I just made that
Ligue 1.
Up?
Ligue 1.
Yeah.
I believe.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's... Let anybody's listening tell me what Le Champignard is then. There's a teaser. I've installed a new part to this podcast. We asked the audience a question and they need to come back with an answer.
Pads poser. I love it. I thought that's what you'd be drinking at your wedding, but there we go. Decent segue. This is the bit that's going to be called Mailbag. So if anyone wants to get in touch with us, say about pads, what was it?
What league is Le Championnat? That's poor pronunciation. I do apologise. But I've definitely heard that phrase. To be honest, we could put this into Google now, one of your phones.
No, now Google in the pod.
Strict rules.
No signal.
Strict rules. So if you want to put Paddy out of his misery on that, or pose us any questions, anything you want us to discuss on the podcast, we'll do that here. Just get in touch. Social media, Pinken on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, on all sorts of shenanigans. You know where we are. You can also email us. The address is thepinken@archant.co.uk. One thing I forgot to mention on in on the sidelines was Ben Marshall. He has been linked. He's a player that I remember liking the look of when he was at Leicester a few years ago. So he's and did very well at Millwall. We had a quick chat about that, didn't we, on the Facebook Live as well. Pat, what do you reckon about Ben Marshall if he was to come?
Yeah, off the top of my head, was it 6 assists and 3 goals he got for Millwall second half of the season? Had a good reputation at Blackburn, and I think, A, the homegrown quota could do with another British player who would count towards that. B, he's got plenty of championship experience, and as a wide player, who I think can play right back as well, or right wing back would potentially suit him quite well, he would seem to tick a lot of boxes. And if he is available for around $1 million, $1.5 million, then that would seem one that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, Wolves don't need him now they're in the Premier League. Sadly, that may also be the case for poor John, who was looking forward to his Premier League return, but there we go. We'll have to see.
Number one
big man. Any other business? Anyone have anything else they want to mention, pose or discuss?
Well, where we sit this afternoon, Daniel Farke has mentioned that he hopes that more deals won't be far away. So in the quotes put out by the club today and in the aftermath of the fixtures, so hopefully you won't have too long to wait. And I think maybe not today, because the talk is about the fixtures, but I think the club will want the narrative to switch towards the new faces in the squad fairly quickly. So hopefully something to get our teeth into.
Yeah, I wouldn't add anything more to that, other than James Maddison's made it quite clear he's not a Cole fan, so we'll leave that there.
Norwich is going to be the first result he looks out for now, Pat.
Yeah. It's dead to me now. Dead to me now.
You did say he was only the second best thing to come out of Cove, so maybe you took it personally.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Although, as Steve Gedge did inform me, Pete Waterman was also from Coventry, so that's probably put me third.
That's okay. I wasn't going to ask you for a league table, don't worry. But, oh, good. What a place to come from, anyway. So, there we go. That's any other business. We might not have any other business going forward. Dave, you got more any other business?
Well, just on the Maddison front, I was just thinking that I think Norwich fans have sort of shown themselves to be a fairly decent group in the aftermath of Maddison. There hasn't been too much negativity. I think everybody has sort of wished him well, and it's made the club look good, because, like I said earlier, we all have known for ages that Maddison was on his way, because he was the one that always sticks in my mind was Derby away. I know they only drew 1-1. He scored the penalty because Oliveira missed, but there was a point in the second half when he was literally running circles around Richard Keogh, who, you know, what, early 30s, but an Irish international, and he was running the guy ragged, and you could see that he was like, I just can't handle this bloke. And it was that point for me when I thought that he's too good for the Championship now. And there were several others. It's just a relief that the injury hasn't ruined everything, and the fact that they have managed to get it done early in the summer transfer window, get it done, I think from everyone's point of view, it's worked out fairly well.
Yeah, I think certainly the amount of money, we've sort of talked a lot about how much Norwich needed the money, but let's be clear, I think James Maddison would have been pushing very hard for a Premier League move himself, and Norwich are obviously fortunate that they could solve their sort of short-term instability financially with at least one big sale. That's done them a huge favour. Brilliant. Right, cheers Pat, thank you very much. Cheers Dave, good work. That is the fixtures and a bit extra chatter. We'll be back with these regularly-ish through the summer, but of course we'll get going properly come August, when the actual Championship action kicks off. So make sure you get involved and subscribed if you wish. The best place to check out the subscription links is pinken.com/podcast, and you'll be able to link and subscribe to Apple iTunes. Leave us a rating and review should you so wish, and of course all your Android players, it'll all be there as well. We'll be back very soon. Until then, keep enjoying your summer, have a nice ice cream, and let's see if we get a couple of signings to talk about next time we're on the pod. Goodbye.